the rewriter of history, the God that does not pursue a man before he catches up with him. Men start to finish. God finishes before he starts. Make a noise unto the King of Kings and the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 18 from verse number 1 to 15. Genesis 18, 1 to 15. And the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Abraham, in the place of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Reverend Kathy, your choir is one of the best in the world. I'm telling you. Your instrumentalists are too anointed. What? They carry something. And verse 2, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Never get to a place in your life where God's lifting will be the reason that you can no longer bow before God. Please. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee from thy servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Whatever you have and you cannot give to God is an idol. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. The last verse. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. As we look at this conference, the theme of this conference, Greater Works, the Lord has laid it on my heart to speak to you tonight on a message titled, Why Are You Still Hiding in the Tent? It's a question. Why are you still hiding in the tent? Abraham got married to a beautiful woman. We saw the accounts in the Bible at least 2 times that somebody wanted to take Sarah from Abraham because Sarah was beautiful. So that presupposes that he married a very fine girl. They had their plans. They were happy. First year, second year, third year. What's going on here? Fourth year. And the years began to come. And they began to wonder, did we miss God in any way? We're supposed to do greater works. But there is a distraction here. What's happening? Does God not love us anymore? Our mates are getting married and having their kids. In fact, some of them are doing family planning. Lord, you know how much we love you. Any little thing, we'll put altar down. Every small thing. You know, Lord, that we are your friend. You even said it. What's going on? After God has spoken, every other situation is a late comer. Contradictions cannot cancel the covenant. And God comes late when he wants to come big. The situation was so bad. Sarah gave up. The years were too many for her faith to handle it. So she gave up and decided that it's fine. I will just be serving my husband and helping people like Haggai. It's okay. Let's just go. So this particular day, God was upset in heaven. And God decided to visit the earth with his wrath, Sodom and Gomorrah. And while God was on the way, the Bible refers to them as to him as three men. So let's assume that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or the Father left the Holy Spirit to be in charge and took 2 angels. Whatever, the triune came. And while God was on his way, there was an interruption. Just like Jesus was on his way to Lazarus's house, and there was an interruption. What was the interruption? God said, how shall I do this and not tell my friend Abraham? Let's make a U-turn. Anytime God gives testimonies to your neighbor, it's because God is in your neighborhood. So you better learn to celebrate the person whose time has come. I'm taking you on a journey tonight. As soon as the three men appeared. The Bible says that Abraham was strategically located. There is no way you can do greater works if you are not sensitive to time and season. He was strategically located at the door. He wasn't in the tent. He was at the door. The Bible says he sat and he was watching, because life is lived in seasons. And you must understand when a season is over in your life and stop trying to resurrect what God is trying to kill. Life is lived in seasons. As soon as he saw these three men, the Bible says he ran. He ran. And then he went up to them and said, please come in and eat and make yourselves comfortable. This is one of the reasons why I'm here. Anytime you read the Bible and you see the word L-O-R-D in capital letter, it is about war. War. The Lord. And God said, we don't have time. We don't have time for food now. I'm going somewhere to cause destruction. But Abraham used worship to intercept and interrupt what God is doing. Greater works is what we're talking about. Worship is a seed. Worship is an investment. When we get to heaven, all the preachers will be sacked. Their ministry will end. Only the ministry of worship, choir, Michael, you see, aren't you blessed? Only that. So if you always miss praise worship, I pity your destiny. If Johnny prays, you say, let them go. We'll meet them. We'll go late to church. You're missing something. Worship is a seed. Worship is an investment. If you want to corner God, be a worshiper. So God says, oh, really? You know what I need? Because a lot of us, we forget to notice that when Jesus was on earth, he didn't just go to the people that needed him. He went to the people that fed him. You will always find him in Mary and Martha's house. People that fed him. So if in your life, maybe as a leader, as a fellow human being, you always give and give and give and nobody gives to you, you're going to burn out. And you may die, God forbid. So the Lord said, okay. The Lord came. The team sat and ate. The Bible says that after they were seated, Abraham went to the tent and says to Sarah, make haste, prepare something. God is here. He also went to his subordinates and told them. He told Sarah to make like something like a cake. You have to bake it, you have to knead it, you have to put it in the oven, you know, and all that. And he said the other man should make whatever. After the Lord finished eating, I just imagine that the Lord picked a toothpick. And then he said, who cooked this food? It's so delicious. So Sarah did not, because of her situation, give God haphazard worship. She didn't know what was coming. She just prepared. I don't want to go to church again. Can't you see I've been waiting on the Lord for years and I don't have a baby? God enjoyed the meal and God said, where is Sarah thy wife? I still can't reconcile that, Michael. I can't reconcile that. He ate. He should have said, thank you very much. I'm on my way. He said, where is Sarah? Something connected that food to Sarah. God said, Sarah, you've done well, but there are greater works. So why are you hiding in the tent? The tent is a good place. But to succeed in life, you cannot afford to always be in the tent. The tent is your comfort zone. But to do greater works, you cannot continue to just be in the tent. And that's the question the Lord gave me to ask you tonight. Why are you still in the tent? Let's look at a few things before I close. Some of you are hiding in the tent because, number one, it has taken too long. I've always come to church. I've always prayed. I sing in the choir. I give my offering. I do everything. Because the Bible even says that it has ceased to be with Sarah according to, of course, he was talking about menses, you know, menstrual period. It has taken so long. And that's the reason you are hiding in the tent. All your mates have gone. All the promises of God look like there will be no fulfillment. Therefore, you have decided to hide behind the tent rather than showing up and doing greater works. He's coming in a big way. He's coming in a big way. He's coming in a big way. God is coming in a big way. When it seems like God is coming too late, he's coming in a big way. When it looks like God is coming too late, he's coming in a big way. You don't belong to the tent. Go up. That's where you belong. Come over here, Mike. Sit down. A lot of you are hiding. Hiding. Hiding from destiny. I don't want to sing that song anymore. I don't want to write that book anymore. I don't want to feed the poor anymore. Let me just hide. Because it's taking so long. Particularly when people begin to flung their blessings. Anybody can say, I love my husband. I love my wife. We are blessed. We have children. They don't understand what it means to be 43 and not be married. And you still have to serve God. They don't understand what it means for you to be the one dedicating babies in charge because you're in charge of marriage, whatever committee, and you don't have a child. They don't understand the roller coaster feeling you have. Why are you not serving God? You're hiding. God says, I understand. God did not say, who is in the tent? God said, where is Sarah? He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when. And God is saying, Michael! What are you doing behind the tent? Come on! I said, God, you don't understand. I've served you all these years. God, you don't understand. You just don't understand. That's number one. It's taking too long. And your mama comes and says, greater was. I really want to do greater was, but you don't know the pains that I have. I have personal issues. I've prayed. I've fasted. I even wish I misused my body when I was in the university. I kept myself just to serve God. Where is God? Let me hide behind the tent. What is this thing that hovers around? Those of you that use camera, what is it? Drone. I'm a spiritual drone today. In the head of God, hovering and looking and say, yes, I saw all the sacrifices when you were not appreciated, when you fell down, when you were coming for choir practice, when it looked as if you've been doing these greater works. I saw it. Oh, hear me. I have eaten the food you prepared. This is your reward time. Number two. Why do people hide in the tent? Because of ungrateful people. Some of you, you have done a lot. You have helped people. Some of you in leadership, you took people from nothing. When nobody will have touched them with the longest of poles, you held their hands. You taught them how to write spiritual A, B, C, D. Now they can put two and two together. Now they appear as if they are even bigger than you are. And then they leave you. If they had left you, that would be fine. They begin to spread stories about you. And people believe them because they used to be close to you. That's what puts you behind the tent. So while Kathy is screaming, greater works, let's serve God, you're hiding. I hope she will not see me. She doesn't know how battered and beaten my heart is. Because of ungrateful people. There's nobody in leadership that doesn't understand what I'm trying to pass across this evening. People you labored over. People you helped. The Hagars of life. Just because your husband could not impregnate you, you looked for this Hagar that you brought into the house, and you said to Hagar, go sleep with Abraham. Just go and sleep with Abraham. I must carry a baby. At the moment, Hagar. Now, listen, Michael, can you imagine what happened that night? While Abraham was sleeping with Hagar, I'm a woman. Was Sarah pacing? Oh God. Was she eavesdropping? Was she listening to the mornings? Was she telling Abraham, please treat me gently? I've never known a man, if not for my madam. Was she hearing those things? Just imagine that tears were falling down. Why will I not hide behind the tent? See the house that I brought. Enjoying my husband. See. And can you now imagine after they were done? And Abraham was adjusting. You know men, they always adjust this thing. And Abraham was adjusting. I assume... Precious, my slippers. I assume that Abraham met Sarah. I said, honey, you know I didn't want to do it. You were the one that told me. Listen carefully. When Sarah told Abraham to go in, Abraham did not resist. The Bible will have put it. That, and he struggled. You remember Tamar? When Amnon wanted to sleep. That tells me that Abraham, thank you, was already eyeing the girl. Abraham should have said, are you silly? Let's hold on to God. Let's trust God. I'm
I'm the man. I'm not complaining. My family may be complaining. Don't worry. I'm not. He said, sleep with my Hagar. Hagar! Your madam said. And you can tell that Hagar feared Sarah. So if madam said it. Okay, sir. Did Sarah go to the market that day? Did Sarah leave the house that day? Was it in the night or in the morning? Sometimes you hide in the tent because you don't want to see how the person you gave that thing you should have enjoyed to is enjoying it. You give out your car thinking that God will answer you immediately. And the person that your bishop gave the car to is driving it and cruising it. So you stay in the tent. Many of us, including me, are hiding behind the tent in some areas of our lives. Come out. So now make the matter worse. Hagar got pregnant and became rude. You don't understand what morning sickness means. You know, you've never been pregnant, so you have no idea. Today, I don't even feel like grinding anything. It is this pregnancy. And I see Sarah shedding tears. Coming for Bible study today. I'm just in a personal retreat. How many people will she tell? Who will she explain to? Who will understand? And they will not say, you're not the one that told her to go. Are you not happy that another person is blessed? And then you tell me not to hide behind the tent. You tell me to come and do greater works. Some of you are hiding behind the tent. Number three, because of disloyal people. Petrus that stabbed you. That you introduced to somebody. And after you have introduced him to somebody, he leaves you behind and goes behind your back. To take the contract. To give many reasons why they should not give you the contract. To explain why the bishop should not lift you. Even though you were the one that brought him to church. You're a human being. Why will you not hide? Disloyal people. This loyalty is like witchcraft. It can kill a leader. It can make a leader give up. It can make a leader hide behind the tent. This loyalty. Excuse me. Some of you are hiding behind the tent. Because Sister Miriam will not allow you to take your proper place. There are too many Sister Miriams in the body of Christ. Do you know that Zipporah was the first pastor's wife in the Bible? But she missed the parting of the Red Sea.
Exodus chapter 15 tells me that Miriam took the tambourine and began to lead the women. Because nature will never allow vacuum to linger. Exodus 18 tells me that Jethro brought her back, for her husband had sent her away. It's there in the Bible. The first pastor's wife. If you're not a pastor's wife, you don't understand what a pastor's wife is going through. For some of you, you honor your pastor. You love your pastor. You can die for your pastor. Christmas, you will bring shirts, bring shoe, and bring rice and drinks. Daddy, we thank God for you. We you are the Elijah of our time. What will my life have been without you? Oh, daddy, daddy. And when you see mommy, bless you. Because some of you, we are married to the man you will give anything to sleep with. So you hate us. Our husbands are your dream men. So you hate us. There's nothing we wear that fits us as far as you are concerned. When we sing, you will say, like crocodile. When we preach, you are on Instagram. One of my books is titled, I Am the Pastor's Wife. 4 chapters. Chapter 1, Dear God. Chapter 2, Dear Me. Chapter 3, My Dear Husband. Chapter 4, Dear Congregation Member. That chapter 4 is the one I love most. Dear Congregation Member, I'm here to remind you that I am the pastor's wife. You may speak Queen's English while I speak Nigerian English. It does not matter. God did not choose you. He chose me. I am the pastor. You may have more money. You may know how to dress. You may be whatever. You may even be more beautiful. But I don't care. I am the one God chose. And for your information, Dear Congregation, it's in my book. It's on Amazon. I told you I've published 106 books. That's one of them. It's my favorite book. In that book, that next paragraph, I said, I have decided, if you like yourself, accept me. Because I've made up my mind that if you don't watch me on TV, you will hear me on radio. If you don't hear me on radio, you will read my books. If you don't read my books, you will smell my perfume. Where were you when I was managing with a man? Where were you when there was nothing, when I was pushing his car? Did the Bible not say that if I suffer with him, I will reign with him? If I'm riding his Range Rover now, shut up! If you don't move, I will push you with the Range Rover. Sit down, I will soon close. Where were you? When I was sweeping the church. Where were you when I was handing over my salary to your pastor? Where were you when I would tell my children to leave the bed for you? Because you came to the house, you were stranded. And I will have to explain to my children, this is the life of a pastor's child. Please understand, where were you? And now God has lifted my husband, and the man has decided to give me a seat beside him in the ministry. And you are envious? You are a witch. Some people are hiding behind the tent. Sunday morning, we are meeting here. Some of you are the reasons why some people are hiding behind the tent. You are the reason why they are not doing greater works. Because of the way you treat them. You make them feel bad because they are 34 and they are not married. All you talk to them about is spiritual husband. Shut up! What is it that you have that you did not receive? And why dress thou as if thou did not receive it? Sometimes 2 + 2 may not be equal to 4 in the lives of good people. It doesn't mean that they are sinners. You are just privileged. And you know one thing. God is coming. You know the reason why you don't have a car yet? They are still fixing the headlamp. I thank God for those of you that have your own and you are driving it. But I'm going to drive the latest. Job 14 verse 14. I will wait till my change comes. For God comes late when he wants to come big. When it looks like God is coming too late, he's coming in a big way.
Coming in a big way.
Oh,
he's coming in a big way. He's coming in a big way. When it looks like God is coming too late, he's coming in a big way.
To do greater works, but there is pain in my heart that is making me hide behind the tent. Even Abraham did not have answer. It took God to come down from heaven to say, where is Sarah? Abraham, why did you allow Sarah to remain? Remember, fast forward, one day, Abraham's mistake was mocking Abraham's miracle. Ishmael and Isaac. Sarah said, now listen, Hagar, because of you, I hid in the tent. But since the day God called me out and I came out, I took my destiny in my hand. Sarah goes to Abraham and says, cast out the bondwoman. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be here with the son. I'm the owner of this house. That day, Sarah showed Abraham that every woman is a bee. B-E-E. We can produce honey, but we can sting. Depending on the path that you press. So if you're a married man, listen. Every woman is a multiplier. That's why we have the womb. Womb is not just to carry babies. We carry things. If you give your wife sperm, she can give you a set of triplets. You give your wife love and affection. Oh, you'll be the envy of everybody. But if you give her frustration, she will show you that she can sting. And some of you men, women are stinging you because of what you are depositing in them. Because the time comes when you hide and hide and hide. After some time, it's enough. I was not created to hide. Who could have said that Sarah could treat Hagar that way? She was pushed to the wall. But God noticed that a woman, before she scatters this home, let me go search her. Who is the Miriam in your life that is struggling with you? Because of her, you can't find favor before your husband anymore. Who is that sister-in-law? Who is that mother-in-law? Who is that boss? Who is that person that is frustrating you? You really have a seat, but they're the ones taking the tambourine and making the noise while you have been reduced to a non-entity. Everything you do, your husband tells you it's not good. You're not beautiful. You're not this. One day I said to my husband, why did you marry me? Because when I saw our wedding picture, I didn't like what I saw. No jewelry, no makeup, turtle dove, wedding dress, pneumonia scarf veil. Because I got my dress from England. But in those days, when we got born again 44 years ago, you must show your wedding dress to your pastor. And pastor's wife. So my pastor's wife inspected it and said, Sister Funke, thou shalt not wear this while souls are perishing. Your mama understands what I'm saying. Souls were perishing before I got married. While I was getting married, souls were perishing. Are souls still not perishing now? So it was my dress. She now made me this cocoa sack. The next time you come to our house, you will see, I didn't destroy the picture is in one corner. And now put the correct one beside it. Sometimes I will go and say, Pastor's wife, you did me like this. I forgive you. But I've never come to your church again. When you are behind the tent, nobody hears your voice. When you are behind the tent, you are covered. When you are behind the tent, you are muted. Luke chapter number 1. Elizabeth was pregnant. Reverend Kathy, she got pregnant for 5 months. She hid herself. She couldn't talk. Blessed but muted. Blessed but muted. She was carrying something, but she couldn't speak until Mary showed up. She said, when you enter the house, the baby in my womb. Blessed but muted. And some women are like that. They are blessed. They are loaded. They can preach. What is Kathy preaching? What is Funke preaching? What is Leslie preaching? Some of you are loaded. But you are muted. Marriage muted you. Relationships muted you. Society muted you. Different things have muted you. And Mary showed up. You need in your life activators. People that when they step into your life, something. She said, the Bible says, Michael, you won't believe it. The Bible says that Elizabeth spoke in a loud voice. Who could have believed that Elizabeth's voice could be loud? Blessed but muted. God said, Sarah, there are greater works. Isaac, greater work. Inside Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, greater works. Inside Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. See where you were hiding. See the greater works. See the greater works. The nation of Israel today, I know we are online, is the most blessed nation when it comes to covenants. Unkillable. Unsinkable, surrounded by 6 enemy nations. There's nothing that doesn't prosper in Israel. Plant it, it must prosper. And rain doesn't fall like it falls here. I've been to Israel a few times. When I got that secret, every day, my husband and I pray for Israel. Every day in our house. You get to my office, you will find the flag of Israel. Even when there's no flag of Michael. Because you smell like the company. Madam, why are you hiding? See Isaac. see Jacob, see Esau, see the 12 tribes, see what is happening in the world, and you are hiding. When God said it, Michael, Sarah laughed. She laughed two times, two kind of laughters. There was a first laughter. If they are distributing it. God said, no, that's not the kind of laughter. Sarah, you laughed. She said, I didn't laugh. Maybe when we were young, has it happened to you before? That you yourself, you know you are lying. Who told this? It's not me, mommy. It's not. And you know you are lying. You know now. You're all doing as if you are holier than myself. You've not done it before. Even after you got born, you now go back. Father, I'm sorry. I was scared. But the second laughter, she said, the Lord has made me to laugh. There is a kind of laughter that you laugh behind the tent. There is one you laugh when you come out. That is a greater laughter. Stand up this evening. When it seems like God is coming too late, He's coming in a big way. What is it that you have been waiting for, and that's the reason you are hiding? While Michael is singing that song, bring it before the Lord.
Come when it seems like God is coming too late, He's coming in a big way. Oh, when it seems like God is coming too late, He's coming in a big way. Oh, when it seems like God is coming too late, He's coming in a big way.
Yeah.
Just present it before the Lord. I want to pray for three sets of people now. Present it before the Lord. Why are you hiding? Because it's been taking so long. It seems as if he's coming too late. Your mates are gone. That's why you're hiding. Come out. Stop hiding in the tent. There are greater works for you. Joshua chapter 13 verse 1. More land to cover. It's a lot. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Rise up and shine. Everybody will say, big amen.